From Psalm 147, from our Pew Bibles, page number is 667 from our ESV, English Standard Version. If you have different version, that's okay, but Psalm 147, we've been looking at this book of Psalms about 2 months. This is our last moment, and we will start new series next week, which is a Sola series based on Reform faith. We've been looking at the Psalm 147 today. And same thing like I said last week, I've been preaching on from the book of Psalms. Title will be always starting with the we. And we praise you, Lord, and we worship you on different themes. If you look at all the titles, you will see that this is we series. Before reading our text, let's bring our hearts to God again. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here today to meditate on your words. And thank you for revealing yourself to us throughout the prophets and throughout your servants and written words that we can access to you and your grace. We will be able to understand your teachings and your plans, your love and your plans of redeeming grace. Lord, today we're looking at Psalm 147. Would you please come to us and help us? Send your spirit so that we will be able to understand this great teaching from the Bible. Bless me, use me as your instrument so that both I and all congregation members will see the glory of God and will see our Lord Jesus Christ this very moment, Lord. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praise our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers his outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And he determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with a thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with the clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beast their food and to the young raven that cry. He delights is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children with you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and he melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters fall. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. As we did, we're going to do a little bit introduction to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, we can say it's a general hymn of praise. We see a lot of words, praise, praise. And praise is actually here in Psalm 147, commanded. It's not requested, but it's commanded by the psalmist. Verse 1, 7, and 12, and 20. And he used some different words of praise in his Psalm 147, especially verse 1 and 20 is the original meaning of praise in Hebrew. That means praise God. That's what verse 1 and 20. And verse 7 is interesting. He picked a different language. First one is a sing, basically singing, another format of praising God. And another one is here, make melody, different words. That means to make music in praise, in praising God. So he says in verse 7, sing to the Lord with a thanksgiving and make melody to our God. Something like that. In verse 12, in other words, it says, ESV says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, and praise your God on Zion. Two different words in Hebrew. The first one is to praise highly in public context. That means like our worship service, making noise and praise God and something like that. The second one is regular use of praise. Now we see that by carefully arranging all these different words of praise, we see that the psalmist invites you and me, even God's people, encouraging them to praise the Almighty God. That's really interesting. So psalmist also sings here in our text today, God's mighty work in His creation that will be found in verse 4 and 8 and 14 and 15 and 16, 17. So God is working from the beginning to the end. This is what the psalmist is saying to us today. Also, God's covenant with His people, the theme of covenant is found in our psalm today. That is verse 2 and 3 and 6, 11 and 13, 14 and 19. It keeps going. The psalmist reminds us of God's promise, His covenant. Especially you will see the word Jerusalem and Israel in verse 2 and 12 and 19. That means God established His covenant with His people that will be forever. So we can say that Psalm 147 is a God-centered psalm, talking about God and His glory and His power and His creation. So the psalmist gives God's people the many reasons to praise God. God did this, God did that, so we have to praise God. Also, Psalm 147 is a Christ-centered psalm. We will see in a minute, especially I'll give you an example. In verse 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted. That short phrase reminds us of what Peter says, 1 Peter verse chapter 2. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. So we received God's healing and forgiveness of our sins. That is Christ-centered theme we're going to see in verse 3. So, by reading all these verses, we see this is really comforting psalm. It comforts us and while we are living in this world. Another thing that I want to talk about is about verbs that we see in our text. If you look at the Bible, your Bible, you see lots of things about God builds and gathers and heals and binds and determines and gives and covers, prepares. It's all about verb forms. Some interesting about Hebrew verb forms that we talked about a few weeks ago. Here today, we're going to see two different things. First one is the imperatives. The six times happening in our text, the psalmist command you and me, the worshipers, commanding us to praise God. That's verse 1 and verse 7 twice and verse 12 and twice and verse 20 and one time. So this psalm begins with commanding. We have to praise the Lord and ends with command. And in between verse 1 and 20, between all the verses, we will see participles in Hebrew form. That's interesting. Within 20 verses, we see 19 times. I counted 19 times there. It's almost every single verse has a participle, except verse 1, 7, 20, and 12, where we see imperatives. So every single verse has the participles. Now, the use of the participle is kind of striking, but in Hebrew language, it's very special. The participle means not just happened one time or will happen in the future, but it's happened, but keep going. God's continuous action. when people try to explain God is working through and God will work and something like that, they use these particular verb forms. So the psalmist demonstrates God's continuous works in our life, that God is the Almighty God, that reminds us of Hebrew chapter 13 and 8. It says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. We will meet our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega, and the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Revelation chapter 1 and 8. That we will see in our text today. So based on all these things, verb forms and commanding forms and themes, different themes, I try to divide this psalm into three sections based on basically imperatives. I made it like a verse 1 through 6. The first part will be God saves His people. The second part will be 7 through 11, that God blesses His people. And the next one is verse 12 through 20, God keeps His promises. John Calvin divided in different form, and Septuagint divided in different forms, but I think imperative is more fitting to our situation. The first one is God saves His people, which is verse 1 through 6. As I mentioned, Psalm 146 begins with a commanding, a very strong commanding word, praise the Lord in verse 1. Now, the meaning of praise in Hebrew is hallelujah. We know that word. And the word hallelujah is used in other places in the Old Testament, especially if you look at the Psalm 147 through 150, you will see lots of hallelujah. 147, 148, 149, and 150 we read today. Now all these chapters begin with the same phrase, hallelujah, or in English, praise the Lord. But all these different chapters, and interestingly, Psalm 147 spells out why. Why we have to praise God. That's very interesting. And in verse 1 reads, for it is good to sing praise our God. Very simple. The second one, for it is pleasant and a song of praise if fitting. Now here the word we see for is found in verse 13. Same verb form in verse 13 and in verse 1. But here, the word for in Hebrew plays a really important role in Hebrew language. The word key, that's a Hebrew sound. In English, for in Hebrew is a key. The for in Hebrew can be translated as like a because in English. So here in Psalmist, in our text, gives us reasons, essential reasons to praise God. Starting with praise the Lord, and right after that, he says, for, because, the first one is, because it is good. The second one, because it is pleasant. And we can say the third one, because the song of praise is fitting, which means right or satisfactory in Hebrew words and suitable. Now, it seems the reasons that we have, it's really simple. Well, we know that. Yeah, it's good. It's pleasant. It's praise is fitting. But if we spend time together and read these simple reasons again and again, it comes to us really powerful reasons. It's really awesome reasons to praise God. Let me help you to do that. The first one is, it is good. Now, the same word good is used in Genesis. We know that God said it was good after His creation. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, and 31. God kept saying that it was good. The same word. Now, the meaning of good in Hebrew language is a state of benefit or good thing. Even we can say happiness and welfare. Even we can go to the meaning of shalom. We'll see in later today, but shalom, perfect peace in God. So, praising God is good. That means it is better than anything else of the world, like a gold and silver and power and honor that we are looking for, everything we have compared to praising God is nothing. So praising God is better than anything else of the world. So it is really good because it's God's peace and shalom we will see. And it's pleasant. Now, the meaning of pleasant is delightful in Hebrew. That meaning is we can get joy and delightful and pleasant not from the world. That is really temporary. But true joy and happiness and delightfulness is coming to us, will be with us when we praise our Lord, our God. We find a true joy, really true joy, when we praise our Lord, our God. That means when we come to church, when we praise our Lord, we should be pleasant. We come to our church with a broken heart, burdens of our sins. But our opening praises, songs, and hymns, those are helping us to lift up our souls to God. And the psalmist says, verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's how praising God is working in our lives. So based on our verse, we'll think about the meaning of praise. Rethink and redefine the meaning of praise for the 21st century Christians. Now, praise God is not about worship styles or our preferences in music. I hear many times, even sometimes I was confused that I like this music, I like that music. But that is not about meaning of praising God. Praising God is all about God and all about our relationship with God. That means it doesn't matter whether we are severely afflicted or not. Sometimes we don't have any energy or any power to praise God because we felt we are very afflicted and we are in big trouble. But it's not related to those things. It's all about God. We praise God because it's simply, as the psalmist said, it's simply good and delightful and pleasant. For us, opening praising time and the hymns during our worship service, those are very precious moments for us. And reaffirming God's covenant with us, remembering His love and promises for us. It's good, it's delightful, it's pleasant. So the psalmist portrays that, after explaining this one, what God has done for His church and His chosen people, that is verse 2 and 4. He gives us more reasons to praise God. And look at verse 2. He says, The Lord builds up Jerusalem. Now, actually, verse 1 is enough. Praising God is good and pleasant and delightful. That's enough reason. But the psalmist gives us more reason. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, He gathers the outcast of Israel. Now, if we read the Old Testament, we know what happened to them. The kingdom of Israel and Judah, they sinned against God and disobeyed God's teaching and worshiped the idols and foreign gods. They did sort of crazy things. Then and God sent them into exile into the hands of the other nations. That's basically the Old Testament storyline. Now, there is another storyline that we should not forget. That is, the Old Testament keeps telling us about God's mercy and His love and His steadfast love for His people. Now, God kept telling His people, say, basically like this, I will save you and I will restore you and I will rescue you. Especially we read Ezekiel chapter 33. So Psalm 147 is the same issue, same thematic, God's saving grace to God's people. God is the one who will save you. God is the one who will gather you again, people. And God will rebuild Jerusalem again. That's verse 2. Now, interesting thing is this. As I mentioned before, the word build is a participle in Hebrew language. So the psalmist is trying to show us and emphasizing that God's work was there and is there, will be there. He's continually working for you, God's people. That is what he's trying to say. That means God never abandoned his people, and he was, and he is, and he will be with his people. That is what says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting how John Calvin understood this particular verse to encourage us. Here, John Calvin says, the church was not of human erection, but formed by the supernatural power of God. We did not start our church. You did not start our church. It's not our decision or our choice to become God's people. But it's God's sovereign decision. He's a divine call. I know that the coffee break ladies are studying the book of Ephesians. It's chapter 1 said, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. It's all about God and his choice and his divine call. So the psalmist is saying the same thing here. God is building up. God will build up Jerusalem again. And how can we apply these things to our lives, brothers, sisters in Christ? Is your heart broken today, like the Israelites 1,000 years ago? Crying for God's help. Looks like there is no future, no help, nothing there. Is your heart crying for God's love and grace? Then look at this verse. Since God has started his church, it's a logical thinking and movement to see that what God will do for us, that is verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If God did not start this church, he will not take care of it. But since God started this church and God has called you and me, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The same similar verse is found in Revelation 21. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Probably, as some of you think today, but my situation is really serious. You don't know about me, and it's really horrible. It seems God is a million miles away, and he will not rescue me or will not restore me. You can say that. Maybe some of you challenge me, say, Pastor James, you don't know my situation at all. And I'm severely depressed and spiritually wounded. There's no way out. Maybe some of you wonder and thinking, that is God still working for our church and our people? Is God still working for our nation? Then listen to the next verse, verse 4. He determines the numbers of the stars. He gives to all them their names. Verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Did you see what the psalmist is trying to say to us? God is the one who created all the universe, even you and me. Even God even named all the stars. He's the Almighty God. He did everything. Our God is great God, abundant in power. Nothing is impossible with him. So, you don't understand him at all. Wait. Whether you are in bad shape, really bad shape, you don't understand who God is. He's the mighty God. Don't put God in a box and thinking that this is what I think my God is. Don't limit His power. His understanding is beyond measure. Surely, therefore, God will heal the brokenhearted. He will bind up your wounds. That's why the psalmist invites us, we praise the Lord, God alone. Our God blesses us. God blesses His people. Starting verse 7, another imperative verb, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make melody to our God on the lyre. Now here the psalmist invites God's people to praise Him and to worship Him with one condition that we just read, with thanksgiving. Now in the Old Testament, the status of thanksgiving is required for the worshipers, those who are bringing sacrifice to the Lord. They had to have the sense of thanksgiving. It happened, if you read Leviticus and Numbers, you will see that happening there. Now, bringing sacrifice to the Lord is not obligation. Sometimes we misunderstand. When we read Leviticus and Numbers happening, they're all sacrifices and explained by God what should bring, what you do, and how you offer things. Those are not obligations for us. It's actually blessing. And then actually forgiveness and a celebrating God's grace. So the psalmist invites his people, say, when you come to God, when you come to God to worship Him, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. The verse 7 and 11 is a little different than verse 1 and 6. Verse 1 through 6, the psalmist sings for God's salvation. God saves you and God saves His people. Here he sings in verse 7 through 11. God blesses His people, even God blesses the world. Verse 8, He covers the heavens with clouds. This is what God does. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. Look at verse 9. He gives to the beast their food and to the young ravens that cry. All the verses here, verse 8 and 9, are, as I mentioned before, participles, which means God is continually covering the heavens with the clouds, controlling weather and seasons, all the natures. God is continually showing His mercy and grace to the earth with rain so that grass grows any season. That means the psalmist is talking about the sovereign God who controls everything. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, he says all the time, declares the sovereign Lord. He is our sovereign God. He controls everything, this earth. More interestingly, two verbs in verse 8, prepare and make. That's another verb form that is explained to us. God is the cause of all the actions. God is the one who completely doing something, controlling everything, even weather and with His mighty hands. Now, let's go back to the word thanksgiving. We know why the psalmist command us to praise God with a thanksgiving in verse 7. Why? Because God is the source of our blessings. Because God is the one who completely controls the world right now. Because God is the one who even feed young ravens that we don't care about them. He is the sovereign God. Therefore, we must come to God with a thanksgiving. When we come to this place, we must come with a thanksgiving. That means, did you come to God today with thanksgiving heart? We give thanks to the Lord, for He is great God, the great King above all gods. We give thanks to the Lord, For he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. We give thanks to the Lord because for he is continually showing his love and mercy, his steadfast to us every day. We give thanks to the Lord for his goodness of God. The goodness of God is every part of the world. We give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his steadfast love is endures forever. After reading this psalm and studying this psalm, we see that, yes, things are happening around us. We're worrying about our nation, our state, but we give thanks to the Lord because God is in still complete control. Now, this is not the end. The psalmist talks about how God responds to those who are coming to church with a thanksgiving heart. It says, verse 10, His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of the man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Wouldn't it be awesome if you and I can be God's delight and pleasure? His delight and pleasure in those who fear him, in those who have hope in his promise, in his steadfast love. When we praise God with a thanksgiving heart, when we make melody and shout out and praise our God, when we sing for God's mighty work, when we express our trust in God, God him alone, surely God delights in his people. We come to God with a thanksgiving, and God delights in us. That's what the psalmist says in this text. God delights in us. Lastly, God keeps his promises. That's the rest of the verse, starting verse 12. The section of Psalm 147 begins with another commanding words of praising God. 12 says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Now here the psalmist repeats the two words here. I didn't talk about it before, but here, Jerusalem and Zion, that is happening in verse 2 as well. Now in the Old Testament, Jerusalem is a place where God's people are living. Zion also is the dwelling place of God. So here the psalmist repeats these two words in this psalm to indicate that God is in the midst of you, you God's people, as the God of Emmanuel. Just as the pillar of fire and clouds were always with a tabernacle, when the fire and clouds not moving, they're there with God always. So the theme of God's presence is here in Psalm 147. The presence, God's presence is with us. The theme is found in verse 2 and verse 12. The reason that God is always with his people is very simple. Because God is faithful and he keeps his promises. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to the thousand generations. God keeps his promises. Don't doubt it. The list of God's fulfillment, his faithfulness is found in verse 14 and 18. That's long verses. But the psalmist says, verse 14, he, God, makes peace in your borders. Verse 14, he fills with you with the finest of the wheat. He provides us. Verse 15, he sends out the command to the earth. 16, he gives snow like wool. 16, he scatters frost like ashes. 17, he hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. 18, he sends out his word, melts down. We will see verse 15 through 18 is about the nature. seasons changing. Verse 18, He makes His wind blow and the waters flow. What do you picture in your mind after reading these all verses, verse through 14 and 18? God is not far away. God is with us. God keeps His promises. And He's working right now, continually working in and among us to bless us. The sovereign God surely keeps His promises. Verse 19 and 20 confirms that. And He says, He declares His word to Jacob and His statutes and rules to Israel. Verse 20, He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know His rules. The psalmist is bringing the worshipper's attention to God's promise and say that God is the God of Jacob. That means the covenant God. He is with you. He will bless you. He will keep you. As God keeps His promises with Jacob and Israel, and God will keep His promises with you. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 20, For all the promises of God find their yes in Him, which is Jesus Christ. That is why it is through Him that we order our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. And who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts and a guarantee. God fulfilled His promise to rescue us through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So we are here sitting today to reaffirm His promise. As I mentioned, Psalm 147 begins with commanding words, praise the Lord. And it also ends with the same command, praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God is the one who redeemed His people. God is the one who blesses His people. God is the one who keeps His promises. Therefore, only one conclusion in verse 20 in our text. Only one conclusion. We praise our God. We praise our God every day. We praise God every night. We praise our God when we come to worship Him. We praise the Almighty God who established the new covenant with us and through Christ. Psalmist says in verse 5 and 6, Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us another wonderful Psalm 147. It teaches us about how God is saving His people and taking care of His people and also keeps His promises. Lord, would You please bless our church and our congregation to remember Your covenant that we have found today and help us to live in this world as Your people who know about God's promises. And thank You for fulfilling Your promise in Christ. Thank You for sending our Lord Jesus Christ to save us. We pray all these things, Your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen.